Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, before we get into No Barriers, I've got a No Barriers announcement for you. At Verve, we are all about inviting our friends to come here, experience God's love and community here, and meet Jesus here. That's why we are about to do some renovations to our building. We're going to try to create some more space for our friends and make our space look even better for our friends. And we will have a progress report on that coming soon. But it's also this idea that we're all about inviting our friends. Why? Announcement. We are changing our service time. Starting March 1st, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be switching to 9:30 and 11. The reason is our current service times, a lot more people are choosing 10 than 11:30, which leaves this room often packed. It's not so bad today because of the holiday weekend, I suspect. But if you were here last week, the only seats were like some in the front row. There was almost none. And like that doesn't feel great when you're new and you come in, there's not many seats and you have to sit in the front. It also doesn't leave much room for growth, for us to invite more friends. And so we're hoping by switching to 9:30 and 11, it will even out the service times a little bit better. In fact, you might be thinking, 9:30 is a little early for me. Perfect, go to 11 and see what we did, right? We got you, right? And so we're hoping we'll make more room in the first service. And also it helps when you invite a friend who is a football fan, because football starts at 10, our first service starts at 10, but by having a 9:30 service, they can go to Verve and get back and barely miss any football at all. So 2 weeks from today, March 1st, 9:30 and 11, all right? So hey, let's pray real quick for those changes we're going to be making, and then we'll dig in to No Barriers. God, thank you for 10 years of us getting to be a church that loves you, loves people, and turns the world upside down. Thank you that we get to invite our friends here and help them to find you here. And God, we're excited. March 8th and 9th, we're doing our 10-year anniversary celebration. It's going to be so much fun. God, with these changes that we're making, we just pray that it make us even more effective in helping people come here and meet you here. Help us to invite our friends. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple years ago, I co-led a workshop at a convention with a pastor named Cal. I had never met him, and I did not meet him until like a minute before the workshop started. Didn't even talk to him. The format of the session was that he was to speak for 20 minutes, then I was to speak for 20 minutes, and then there was a 20-minute question and answer. The topic was preaching to the unconvinced. And the room was absolutely packed. It was like 80, 90 people, and the room probably fit 60 people. So Cal goes up. They have a podium with a microphone. So he goes up to the microphone and starts speaking. He says, people who are unconvinced, people who are not yet Christians, have to know that you like them before they'll listen to what you have to say. And he explained that in most churches, if you show up, whether you're a Christian or not, you are expected to behave. Behave. Like, if you're going to hang out with us at church here, you need to behave. And so if you smoke, well, you're expected not to smoke on church property. You need to behave. If you curse, you can curse out there, but you cannot curse in here. Behave. If you dress inappropriately, well, you're expected to dress as we do when you're with us at church. You need to behave. So if you show up, you're expected to behave, and if you do, then you can keep on coming, and you'll be asked to believe. If you don't believe in Jesus, we want you to believe in Jesus. And then he said, after you believe, and only after you believe, can you belong. Cal said, at our church in Arizona, we have reversed the order. We flipped it. And so when you show up, you belong. I mean, immediately you will be accepted. You will be befriended. You will know that we like you and we embrace you and that you belong here from the minute you walk through the door. You show up, you belong. He said, then we hope you will grow to believe. If you don't believe in Jesus, we really hope that you will soon. And he said, only after you believe will there be any expectation that you will start behaving. He said, we expect Christians to be obedient to God, but only Christians. Why would we expect people who are not Christians to act like Christians? And I think he ended by saying, again, people who are unconvinced, people who are not Christians, need to know that you like them before they'll listen to what you have to say. And then he sat down. And I stood up because it was my turn to speak, and I went to the podium. What I had prepared, when I prepared it, I had no idea what he was going to say in his 20 minutes, so I leaned in the microphone, and I said, man, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say pretty much almost exactly what Cal just did. What I want to talk to you about is leading with love. And I explained to this group of people that the Bible says that Jesus came to the world full of grace and truth. And that's what the church has. We are full of grace and truth, or we could say love and truth. That's what we have to offer the world. The Bible says that we should be speaking the truth in love. The cool thing is, that's what people need. They need truth for their lives, and they need to be loved. They need to feel love. And I said, we need to do both, but the order is critical. We need to speak truth, but we must lead with love. We have to lead with love. I said, listen, if you lead with love, if you lead with truth, it just turns people off. They turn away, and they're never going to hear what you have to say. But if you lead with love, if people know that you like them and that you really care about them, it opens them up. It opens their ears to what you have to say. It opens their hearts to God. It opens their minds to hear truth. You must lead with love. And I explained, and often what I found is all you need to do is love. Often you don't even have to get to the place where you teach truth. Just loving people is often enough. They will make all the changes that truth would lead them to make without you even telling them to. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because people already know, right? Like if they're doing something wrong, they already know. So they don't really need to be told, they just need to feel loved. I said, man, we've seen this over and over. Like we've had people who were living together and they stopped living together or they got married, but no one told them to. We just told them God loves you and we loved them with God's love. We've had people who quit jobs that they really needed to quit, but we never told them to quit. We just loved them and they did it without being told. It wasn't truth that led them to change or to repent, which just means change. It was love, that they just needed to be loved. I told people at that workshop that day, I said, that's actually, and maybe you probably know this, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that it's not God's wrath or fear of judgment that leads people to repentance. It's love that leads people to repentance. Like in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared. Pause. It says the grace of God, right? Not the truth of God, not the wrath of God, not the fear of God. It says the grace of God. Okay, let's continue. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, okay? And then it says, it teaches us, pause, what's it? Well, it is referring to God's grace, right? We already established that, God's unmerited love for us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So, according to the Bible, what leads people to say no to ungodliness and to lead godly lives is the grace of God. Now, here's another example. Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I told them that day, I said, let's read this. So, when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt, listen, for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So that verse is saying, Like, how can you judge people for their sin when you have sin? And don't you understand that it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance? It's love that leads people to change. And I told this group of people, I said, often all you need to do is love them. I ended with, honestly, I think I'm just saying what Cal said. If you lead with truth and try to get people to behave, you are going to drive people away. And so you have to lead with love. You have to let people know that you like them and that God loves them and that they belong with you. And if you do that, they will come to believe, and then they'll start behaving. You'll see their lives start to change. And I sat down. And so Cal stands up, and he goes to the microphone, and he starts the 20-minute question and answer part of the workshop. And all these people start asking questions, and they were super easy questions. And Cal answers all of them. It was really supposed to be he and I were both answering the questions together, but he answered all of them, and I was totally fine with that. I figured he's more experienced than me, has more wisdom than me. I was enjoying listening to his answers. I was learning from him. And then this guy in the back of the room raised his hand, and he stood up. He was a big guy, and he was wearing a trucker hat, which I think is irrelevant. His face, I'm just trying to give you a visual, his face was red, and he said this. He said, "You know what? I hear you two talking about how you two like sinners and how you two both love sinners. And what I want to know is, when do you two call sin, sin? When do you tell sinners that they're sinners? When do you preach about sin and hell?" So Cal is at the microphone, and he says, I quote word for word, he said, "That is a great question. And Vince has a great answer for you." And he sat down. I was like, "You son of a..." And so I got up and I said this. I said, "Sir, I appreciate your question, but I would encourage you, rather than making assumptions about me, to go to our website where you will find all of our sermons, and you can listen to them, and you can tell me if I preach about sin and hell, and you will see that I do." You know what? You made an assumption about me, and so if it's okay, I'm going to make an assumption about you. But first, let me ask you a question. When you read the Gospels, which are the four books that talk about Jesus' life here on earth, when you read the Gospels, where do you see Jesus going up and calling sinners sinners? Like, is that what you see Jesus doing? Or do you see Jesus always leading with love, establishing a relationship, showing a person that he cared about them, and then helping that person to see where maybe they need to change? I said, "Sir, don't we want to follow the example of Jesus? You know, I'm sure that you talk to people about their sin. And I know that I talk to people about their sin. And so here's my assumption. The only difference between us is that when I talk to people, they listen to me. And when you talk to people, I bet no one does. And the reason is because they listen to me because I always lead with love and establish a relationship first." And everyone started cheering, like really, like everyone was like, "Woo!" like cheering. And then the guy came up and beat the crap out of me. Not really, but I was totally afraid of it. I was like, "Can somebody walk me to my car? He was really big and his face was really red." So we're in this series called No Barriers, and we're talking about how do we take away the barriers that keep us from God and keep other people from God. And I want us to think about the barrier that pastor, Cal, shared with those people that day, that most churches expect people to behave before they believe. And I wonder if maybe we could all agree today that that doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense to ask people to behave before they believe. We never see God do that. So if you read the Old Testament, the Bible, the part before Jesus came, you see God giving commands, but God's commands are always given to God's people, to people who believed. And in the New Testament, there are a bunch of books of the Bible that were originally letters that were written. And those letters are filled with lessons for us on how to live our lives and principles for us or how to live our lives. But they were written to God's people, to people who already believed. Now, would someone who's not yet a Christian be wise if they chose to live their life according to God's words and God's commands? Yes, absolutely they would, because what God tells us is best for us. The reason he tells us what to do is because he loves us, and so they should totally want to do that. But have they agreed to that? No. And can we expect that from them? Of course not. In fact, not only have they not agreed to live that way, they are incapable of it. According to the Bible, we are all incapable of truly living the life of love and purity that God wants for us. If we could live it on our own, if we were capable, we wouldn't really need God. And maybe we don't even need Jesus to die for our sins. And we don't need the Holy Spirit to fill and empower us. But we cannot live that life on our own. And that's why we do need God and Jesus dying on a cross for us and the Holy Spirit inside of us helping us. That is the only reason Christians can live the life that God has for them. So how can we expect non-Christians to live the way God tells us to? We can't. And so many churches ask people to behave before they believe, but it really makes no sense to ask people to behave before they believe. Not only does it make sense, it turns people away from God. One time after a service in this room, a lady came up to me and she said, "Hey!" And I said, "Hey." And she said, "Hey, my name is Sandy," but not for long. It has been a bad year for Sandy's. Hurricane Sandy, Sandy Hook Elementary, I am changing my name. So, hey, I just wanted to thank you for keeping it positive. I was like, "Hey," like, whoa. I said, what do you mean I'm keeping it positive? She said, "Oh, I've gone to church a few times in my life, like growing up, and I've gone a few times as an adult. I hate church. You always feel like you're being judged. People look down on you. It's all negative. It's all about their rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. They want me to dress appropriately. I have always hated church, but I heard about this one, church where people don't like church, and I decided, all right, I'll check it out. This was great. Thanks for keeping it positive." And she just walked away. I was like, "You're welcome." But do you see how she had been turned off by churches who expected her to behave before she believed? It doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't work to ask people to behave before they believe. And those are not the only things wrong with that whole behave, then believe, then belong order. See, churches often don't let people belong until after they believe, but people often need to feel like they belong before they can believe. See, most people just are not going to listen to someone until they know that person likes them. It's the old saying, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And not belonging, not feeling like I belong, is a barrier to belief. For most people, it's not easy for someone who doesn't believe to come to faith. It was not easy for me at all when I was in my 20s, and that happened for me. Typically, for that to happen, not only do you need truth and answers and evidence, but you also need to feel loved. And you need to be surrounded by people who are walking with you through that process. And you need to feel like this is a group of people who I would want to become a part of. Belonging creates the right environment for believing. We see this in the Bible. So the book of Acts in the Bible, A-C-T, Acts, not A-X, Acts. There's not yet a book of Acts, A-X, in the Bible, but I want it so bad. And so the book of Acts in the Bible is the stories of the first churches. And there are moments in this history book where we see the first churches creating like a great fellowship and this great sense of community and belonging for people. And it's so interesting. Whenever that happens, it's almost always immediately followed by a report that many people were coming to faith. I'll show you just two examples. In Acts chapter 2, we get this great picture. You should read it when you get home or tonight. This great picture of the church, and they're creating community and a sense of belonging for people. And then here's the very next verse, Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then a couple chapters later, Acts chapter 5, verse 12, says, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. And so this is the already believers, and they're meeting together regularly, and there's community, there's belonging. And then here's what we read. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So it wasn't just for the already believers, not yet believers were being included, and being included, that sense of belonging it gave them helped lead them to believe. And that's why we want everyone to know that at Verve, before you believe, you are not expected to behave, but you do belong. That's why we have lots of people who do not yet believe volunteering in ministries and participating in groups and going on mission trips. That's why we do events like a kickball game. Because if you're someone who's, you're going to church, and you're like, man, these people believe things I don't believe. But then there's a kickball game. You're like, well, I can do that even if I don't believe what they believe. I can still kick a ball, right? I don't have to believe in Jesus to kick a ball. And that's why we have like a water moccasin weaving class. We canceled that class. We don't have that. At Verve, you belong before you believe. You belong before you believe. And what we hope is that belonging will create the right environment where this person can learn about God through the teaching that happens here and through interacting with other Christians as they experience loving community. And it will lead a person to believe. And then, after the person believes, then they can start moving towards behaving. Because now the person has agreed to live with God as their Lord and live life according to His word. Now the person has the Holy Spirit inside of them, so they have God with them, God's power to actually live God's way. But I would say it different. I would say it's not really about behaving. I know that's the word that Pastor Cal used at our workshop, but I don't think that's so much what God has in mind. The word I would use is not behave. I would use the word become. That it's not so much that God's up in heaven going, will you just behave? How do I get you people to behave? Because He's a loving Father. That's the picture we get of God in the Bible. He is a loving Father. So I'm a pretty loving father. My goal for my kids is not, I just want them to grow up and behave, right? Like, that, right? As long as they behave, I'll be so happy. No, I want them to grow up and become everything that God intends for them to become, right? I don't want them to just behave. I want them to become. And I think God is less interested in making sure you behave and more interested in who you are becoming. And He knows that if you stay connected to Him, which is what we talked about last week, if you were here, if you weren't here, man, you can check that out online. We have video and audio of the messages, but we talked about connecting with God. If you connect with Him, you will grow and you will become everything that you are supposed to become. Now, I can't believe that Pastor Cal guy made me answer the question from Angry Trucker Hat guy, but I will say this, that Cal, he had the order right. People need to belong. before they believe. And it's only after they believe that we should expect them to behave, or again, I would say, become. After they believe, they can start becoming who they're supposed to be becoming. I'll tell you the rest of Sandy's story. So remember, she came up and she was like, thanks for keeping it positive. Churches are always, don't do this, don't do that, and ran away. So it turned out that Sandy was a Britney Spears impersonator who sang and danced provocatively for a living in a show. I would demonstrate dancing provocatively, but... No. And so Sandy kept coming after a positive week. She kept coming, and three, four months later, we were doing a series on marriage. And one week was about having purity in your marriage. And I spent about half of my time talking to single people, telling them that they can have purity in their marriages later by having purity before marriage now. So don't sleep with anyone until you get married. It's not only best for you now, it will be best for your marriage later. And I'm talking about that when I see Sandy sitting right about there. And I thought, oh, she is never going to come back. This is exactly what she was, don't do this and don't sleep with, and I'm like, she's never going to come back. And so I'm still talking. I can talk to you and be thinking about, like, hey, what's for lunch today sometimes, and so I've got skills. And so I'm still continuing to talk, but at the same time I start wondering, is she the type who's just going to walk out, never see her again, or will she come up to me, let me have it, and then walk out, never see her again? Because I've experienced both. So the service gets over, and she starts walking right up to me. And I'm like, she's the type who's going to let me have it, and then I'm never going to see her again. Great. And so she walks up, and I went, hey, because I'm ready. And she said, Vince, I am getting baptized. And I said, huh? Like, what? I didn't even talk about baptism in that message. And she said, listen, since coming here, my life has completely changed. Like, if I started explaining it to you, I would start crying. And she starts crying, like crying. And she says, the way I think about everything has changed. The way I think about God has changed. The way I think about myself has changed. Like, everything's changed. And I am ready. I'm giving my life to God. I am getting baptized. Wow. And Sandy began changing everything about her life. She, without anyone telling her to, no one told her. She broke up with her boyfriend. She quit her job. She changed everything. It was the grace of God that taught her to say no to ungodliness and live a godly life. That verse said, and can you imagine if that first day when she showed up, if we, like every other church she had ever gone to, let her know that she was supposed to behave, she would have never come back. But because we led with love and we let her belong, she came to belief, and then she started becoming. She started becoming who she was supposed to become. That order is just the way it works. At Verve, we might say it a little bit different than that pastor Cal guy. I think maybe we'd say it like this. You can belong before you believe, and you won't believe what you'll become. You can belong before you believe, and you won't believe what you'll become. And when you feel like you belong, it leads you to a place where it's easier to believe and eventually to become everything God intends for you to become. And I wonder if maybe you're at a place where you believe. Maybe you believed for a while. Maybe it's new. And like Sandy, you're ready to be baptized. We're actually doing baptisms here in 3 weeks. Baptism is when a person is lowered under water and then raised up out of water. The symbolism is that it's like because of their faith, they are being buried, signifying a death to their old life without God, and then raised up to a new life with God. It's almost like a wedding ceremony in that it's kind of like this celebration of a person's commitment to God and relationship with God. And when a person believes, the next step is they get baptized. Jesus taught us that in Mark 16:16. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. If you believe, you get baptized. That's what we see happening with every single person who believes in the Bible over and over. I'll share just a couple examples. There's tons. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. They believed, they were baptized. Acts 8:13. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. In fact, it's interesting. After Jesus comes, there is no such thing in the Bible as someone who believes and isn't baptized. There's no example of a person who would say, I believe in Jesus, but I've never been baptized. That's not in the Bible. And so, if you believe, but you've never been baptized, maybe it's time for you to get baptized. So we're doing baptisms on March 8th and 9th, which is our 10th anniversary celebration weekend, 3 weeks from today. And man, that could be your day. Why don't you make that your day? Believe, be baptized, and start letting God lead you to become everything God intends for you to become. If you are interested in that, if you're either like, I want to get baptized, or you're like, maybe I got a couple questions, at the Velcro bar, there's two iPads, and there's a sign-up sheet, and all you're signing up for is contact me. You can give us your phone number, email, whatever, and then we'll contact you, and you might say, I'm in, or you might say, I've got a question about this, and we'll try to answer all your questions. You could also, if you can't get back to the Velcro bar, you could use your card, and in the space, you could write, call me about baptism, and give us your phone number. So we're gonna give you some time right now to think about what you've experienced today, and my hope is to make a decision, like to take a next step in your process with God. Maybe your decision needs to be, I want to help Verve become a belong first kind of church. Because if you are a part of this church, you are Verve. And so when I say Verve, you can belong, that's you. At Verve, we help people belong before they believe. And so your decision might be, I'm going to show up 5 minutes earlier and leave 5 minutes later and hang out in the lobby and just smile at people and say hi to people I've never met and help people to feel like they belong here. Maybe that's your decision. Your decision might be that it's time for you to start letting God help you become what he has in mind for you. So like we talked about last week, to start living a connected life. And so during this time we're going to give you, you can just listen for his voice calling out to you that he's got more for you. Or maybe you've never been baptized and it's time. And during this time, you can call out to him and let him know, I'm ready to do this, God. What's your next step?